Be'ezras Hashem b'li neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to Le'ilui Nishmas Avi Moyer Rav David Tzvi ben Rav Yosef. Good morning, Dovzi, Dr. Joe, Chanachanach, Mordechai, Tzviki, and Tzvika, and Avi, and Eli. Thank you very much for joining. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Yud. We are towards the top of Yuma Daf Yud. At the words, Tani Rav Yosef, Tiras Zu Pras. Tiras is Pras. We're up to the words Safta on Daf Yud. The Gemara is now going to just go on a little bit of Agata, discussing various places mentioned in the Chumash. Where are they in current modern day? Where are these lands? So the Gemara says, this is talking about the sons of Chum, and the sons of Cush, who is the son of Chum. Safta v'rama v'saftacha tani Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef taught, Sakistan gavyasa, the inner Sakistan, v'sakistan baryasa, and there's the outer Sakistan. Bein chad l'chad, between this inner Sakistan and outer, there's mea parsa, 100 parsa. V'hekefan, the circumference of the outer Sakistan, is alpha parsa, 1,000 parses. And the psukim also continue about Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, the son of Chum. Vatahi Rashis Mamlachto Bavel. Nimrod was in charge of Bavel. V'erech v'akad v'chalne. Bavel kamashma'a. There was a city Bavel that was within Bavel. Erech ze orichus. V'akad ze baskar. V'chalne ze nofer ninfe. Various places that were around during the time of the Gemara. The Gemara continues there, Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur. Now there is a dispute in the Rishonim what this means, Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur. The simple pshat is that Nimrod left from that land to Ashur. Some say no, Ashur left it, Min ha'aretz ahi yotza Ashur. Ashur left that land because he didn't want to be part of the Dar HaFlaga. Ashur was the name of a person. That's what Rashi says in his commentary to the Chumash. Once he saw that his sons listening to Nimrod, and they were trying to build the Tower of Babel, he left. The Ramban disagrees. He says Ashur is the name of a place. It means Nimrod went to Eretz Ashur. Tani, Rav Yosef, Ashur ze Silek. So Argamar sounds like it's a place. This place called Ashur, that's a place called Silek. So Nimrod built Ninve Ruchovos Ir and Kalach Ninve Kamashmo, that's the city. Ruchovos Ir Zu Pras de Meshan, a place in Meshan. Kalach Zu Pras de Borsif, a place that's in an area in a country called Borsif. Ves Resen, and Resen is Bein Ninve Bein Kalach Hi Ha'ir Agdola. Resen is between Ninve and Kalach. It's the big city. Yeah, what's the big city? Resen ze Aktisfon. Hi ha'ir agdola im yode im Ninve ha'ir agdola o Resen ha'ir agdola. Is Ninve the big city or Resen? Kishu Omer, the pasuk in Yona says, v'Ninve ha'isa ir gedola le'lokim ha'alach shloshes yamim have Omer Ninve hi ha'ir agdola. So we know that Ninve was a very, very large city. Once we're talking about various places in Tanakh, somehow we now begin talking about other names that are included in Tanakh that the rabbis had drushes about. This is talking about when the Meraglim went to spy the land of Israel. So they went to the south of Israel, they came to Hebron, and they met giants. They met some giants. So the Gemara is going to talk about these giants. Very difficult to know what this has to do with the Gemara that just happened, but the Achronim struggle with that. Says the Gemara. Visham, in the Negev, you had Achiman, Sheshai, Vitalmai, Yelideha Anak. They were giants, the children of giants. Tana, Achiman, Miyuman, Sheba'achim. He was the strongest of all the giants. Sheshai, Shemesim, Esaretz, Kishchisos. When he took steps onto the ground, he destroyed everything that he stepped on. Because he was so big and heavy, when he took a step, he would destroy stuff. There would be like a large crater wherever he took a step. Talmai, Shemesim Esaretz, Tilamim, Tilamim. He like dragged his feet and caused the earth to be in like furrows, plows, and caves, ditches. because his feet were so strong. Achiman bana Anas, Sheshai bana Alush, Talmai bana Talbush, each of them built these cities. Yilideha Anak, why were they called Yilideha Anak? Anak means a giant, but Anak also means like a necklace or a necktie. Shema Anik and Achama Bukomasan, they were so tall that when you looked up at them, it looked like the sun was their necklace. That's how tall they were. Amar Rav Shimon Levi. So Rav Shimon Levi said in the name of Rebbe, this is also going back on the kingdom of Persia that we just spoke about. So he says in the name of Rebbe, Asida Romi Shetivo Biad Paras. In the future, the end of days, the Romans are going to fall in the hands of the Persians. Shenemar Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, when Hashem is going to punish the nations. Lachin Shimu Atzas Hashem Asher Yo'atz El Edom U'machshavos Asher Chosav El Yoshvei Teman Im Lo Yischavim Tzeirei Hatzon. They're going to be beaten up by the young sheep. Im Lo Yashem Aleim Neveim. He's going to destroy their homes with the young sheep. The Edom is Rome, and the young sheep are the Persians. Maskav L'Rar Ula My Mashma Dahai Tzeirei Hatzon Parasu. How do you know the young sheep are considered to be the Persians? Dechsev, because you have a pasuk in Daniel. Daniel dreamed a dream, and the angel Gabriel explained the dream to him. Ha'ayel the ram asher isa balakarnayim malche madayu paras. So you see, paras comes from a type of sheep. Asked the Gemara Yavan dechsev. Vatzafir hasair melech yavon ki salak rav chaviva bar surmki amar kamedum rabbanon. When rav chaviva bar surmki made aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, so one of the rabbis mentioned this question to him. He mentioned this question to one of the rabbis there. So amalei, the rabbi responded to him, mandalo yada perusha kura mosif tiufta l'rebbe. People who don't know the simple explanation of pesukim are asking kashas on Rebbe. How he knew that Tzeirei Hatzon was Paras. It's not from the sheep. It's from the Tzeirei. My Tzeirei Hatzon Zutra Da'achoi. The youngest of the brothers, like we just saw before. Like that was Paras. The Tani Rav Yosef. Tiras Ze Paras. The youngest son was Tiras. And Tiras, that was referring to Paras. So it's not the sheep that was the reference to Paras. But it was the youngest one. And that's a reference to Paras. Amar Rav Avraham Rabbi Yochan, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda B'Rebbe Eloi, Asido Romi Shetibo Biad Paras. The Romans are going to fall in the hands of the Persians. Kavachomer. We can learn this from a Kavachomer. Uma Bigdish Rishon Shebina Uhu B'nei Shem. The first place Amidish was built by the Jews. Shlomo HaMelech V'Hichrivu Kazdiim. And the Babylonians destroyed it. Naflu Kazdim Biad Parsiim. And the Persians defeated the Babylonians. Migdash Sheni. So the Persians were able to defeat the Babylonians and who defeated the Beis Hamikdash built by the Jews. Migdash Sheni Shebenu Parsim. If the Persians built the second Beis Hamikdash, they should have a merit. They built the second Beis Hamikdash, right? Koresh was the one who gave the instructions to build it, the Persian king. The Hechrivu Romium, and the Romans destroyed their work. Eino din sheiplu Romium biad parsim. Kavachomer, the Persians who built the second Beis Hamikdash should be able to destroy the Romans who destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Gemara, Amarav, the opposite. No. I see the Paras Tibo biad Romi. In the future, the Persians are actually going to be defeated by the Romans. Amar le Rav Kahana, Rav Ami the Rav, Binuye biad Sisore. Does it make sense that Hashem, is that justice? That Hashem would allow the builders of the second Beis Hamikdash to fall in the hands of the destroyers of the second Beis Hamikdash? How could that be? Amalahu in. Yes, it's going to be like that. Gezeras Melechi. It's a decree of the king. And there's nothing you could do about it, even though it would seem not to make sense. Ikada Amri Amalahu. Some say that this is what he meant to say to them. Inunami Okasasi Be Kanishta. No, it's not just because it's Gezeras Melech. It doesn't make sense. The Persians, even though they built the Beis HaMikdash, but they also destroyed a lot of shuls. And since they destroyed a lot of shuls, the fact that they built the Beis HaMikdash is balanced out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them in the end of days. that they destroyed because they destroyed a lot of shuls. Tanya Nami Hachi. We also learned in a Braisa supporting both of these positions. I see the Parashatibo Biyad Romi. The Persians are going to be defeated by the Romans. Chada the Sasi Beknishta. First of all, because the Persians destroyed shuls. V'od Gzeras Melechu Sheyiplu Bonin Biyad Sosrin. Even though it would seem not to make sense, it's a Gzeras of the king that the builders of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed in the hands of the destroyers of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar the Marav, Ein Ben David Ba, Ad Shetivshot Malchus Romi HaRishah B'chol Olam Kulo Tisha Chadashim. Mashiach is not going to come until the Romans are going to defeat the entire world for 9 months. Why 9 months? Shenemar Lachin Yitnem Ad Es Yoleda Yolda V'Yeser Echav Yeshuva Na'Bnei Yisrael. So there's this reference to the fact that the Romans are going to run around the world and destroy the world for the amount of time that it takes a woman to give birth. There's also a reference to this that we know that the times before Mashiach are going to be like the pains of childbirth. Because the pains of childbirth, I mean, I'm not allowed to say how they are. You know, my wife always, you don't know the pains of childbirth. We're not allowed to talk about it, but the Gemara talks about the pains of childbirth and compares the gullus at the end of days to, because just like the pains of childbirth are so painful and so difficult for the woman, but then it's followed by this incredible joy, this incredible relief. That's also the way the future Geula is going to be. It's compared to the pains of childbirth in the sense that it's not pain for nothing. The pain that we're going through now is not for nothing. It's going to lead to this great Yeshua, this great Geula, this great birth that's going to happen after the pain. So you see, this is why the end of days is always referred to similar to childbirth. Continues the Gemara. Now we're going to go back to very interesting Shiloh, which is going to lead us into a discussion of the laws of mezuzah. The laws of mezuzah, one of the important Gemaras in discussing the laws of mezuzah. Did the Lishkas Parhedrin that the Kohen dwelled in for 7 days, was that obligated in mezuzah? This is so great about Shas, right? We're talking about the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen Gadol, Yuma, boom, all of a sudden, a fascinating discussion of what type of house is Chayv in mezuzah not. This is one of the beautiful things about Shah. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Kol HaLishkos Shayv in Mikdash Lohayol and mezuzah. One interesting question, which is going to come up more in tomorrow's daf, is a shul Chayv in mezuzah? Is a makom kadosh Chayv in mezuzah or not? On the one hand, in the olden days in the shuls, they used to live a little bit in the shuls. They would have people that would sleep over in the shuls. Maybe that's the reason why a shul would be chayiv in mezuzah. But this Gemara is very relevant to that question. So the Gemara says, all the offices in the Beis HaMikdash did not have a mezuzah. Chutz mi lishkas parhedrin. This office that the Kohen Gadol lived in was the only office in the whole Beis HaMikdash that was chayiv in mezuzah. Shehayah ba beis dira le Kohen Gadol. Because the Kohen Gadol used to live in this office for 7 days. 7 days. So that makes you chayiv in mezuzah. Now, asks Tosus, the Ramaschil Chutz. Take a look at the second Tosus. Vim Tomer, Lechshiv Nami Lishkas Beis Evan, Shabbai Zadir Lekoyen Asar V'Sapara. What about the office that the guy burning the Parah Aduma was a different office? Why? That was also for a week. Why didn't they put the mezuzah on that one? Only on the Lishkas Parhedrin they put a mezuzah because he lived there for 7 days? Says Tosas, Yeshlomar, Lo chashiv ela lishkos shebimigdash shebinuyos ba'kodesh. Ava lishkos beis evan ba'harabayis hava. Yeah, it's true that one also had one, but that wasn't inside the basement. It was harabayis. That's one answer. Inami, kevin de lo hava b'chol shata ela achas l'kamashanim. How often did they burn a parah aduma? Only once every like 20, 30 years. So somebody living in a place for 7 days once every 30 years is not enough to put up a mezuzah. But in the Lishkas Parhedrin, there's a Kohen Gadol every year. So that's why it's considered to be a dira. Okay, let's continue. Except for this one. So that's Tanakama. Tanakama said that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, V'halo kama Lishkas Parhedrin Shahayel and Beis Dira. What do you mean? People lived in a lot of places. People slept in a lot of offices in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Why they sleep? So Rashi says, because there were shomrim there. There was a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to watch the Beis HaMikdash. Not to watch it that people are going to steal. No. Just for the honor of the Beis HaMikdash. Shomrim hafked le'ircha. Kol hayom v'chol halayla. That's actually not the source. It's a pasuk in Chumash. Moshe v'Aaron abanav shomrim mishmeras ha'migdash. So there was shomrim in Beis HaTinas. Beis HaNitzotz, Beis HaMoked. Various places. And the Leviim watched in 21 other places. Mishnah says Maseches Midos. So, the Bar Tanura talks about this. So, in the Machlokas, the Rambam and the Mefarshim Maseches Tamid, did they only do Shmira at night, or did they do Shmira even during the day? Either way, as a sign of respect for the Beis HaMikdash, they did Shomrim. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, they would sleep in a lot of offices. Ella, Lisha, so it's not just because the Kohen would live in this place. Because if that was the reason why there was a mezuzah there, they should have been mezuzahs in a lot of the offices. Ella, Lishkas, Parhedrin, Gzeira, Haisa. Really, none of the offices of the Beis HaMikdash contributed required mezuzah. Even the Lishkas, Parhedrin didn't require mezuzah. But this was a Gzeira, Derabbanan, Rabbi Yehuda said, that the Lishkas, Parhedrin they made one. Why? Interesting Gzeira, we're going to see at the very end of the daf. Why did they put a mezuzah on Lishkas Parhedrin, said Rav Yehuda? So that people shouldn't say that the Kohen was locked up in jail. So they put a mezuzah to make it look like a nice house. But so people shouldn't say that the halacha didn't treat the Kohen Gadol appropriately, so they put a mezuzah on there. But really, even the 7 days would not require mezuzah. Oh, so the Gemara wants to know, my time with Rav Yehuda. What is the logic of Rabbi Yehuda about why the Lishkas, Tanakhama says, Me'ikr din d'oraisa, the Lishkas Parhedrin required a mezuzah? Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Me'ikr din d'oraisa, the Lishkas Parhedrin did not require a mezuzah. They just did it through abundance, so people shouldn't think the Kohen Gadol was in jail. Agav, some of the poskim say in the Shulchan Aruch, you see from this Gemara that a Jewish jail, in Eretz Yisrael, they probably have Jewish jails. Do you have to put a mezuzah on a jail? Sounds like from this Gemara that a jail doesn't need a mezuzah. Because if it wouldn't have had a mezuzah, people would have thought he was in jail. So that's what the poskim say over here. It sounds like from this Gemara that a jail doesn't require a mezuzah. We're going to see in a second, because you're there against your will. You don't want to be there. Any place that you don't want to be there, you're there against your will, is not considered like you're living there. And therefore, since you're not living there, so you don't need a mezuzah. We'll see in a minute. Or maybe tomorrow. Amar Rabba. Kasevar Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the logic of Rabbi Yehuda that Meikar Adin, the Lishkas Parhedrin, was exempt from mezuzah Meikar Adin? Why? Amar Rabba, Kasevar Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Bayis She'enu Osi Limos Hachamav Limos Hakshamim Eino Bayis. Any house that you don't live in, both in the wintertime and the summertime, so he holds, is not considered to be a house. Wow, what a big leniency. That means your bungalow in the mountains, so you have your summer home, so you wouldn't have to put a mezuzah on such a thing. Yeah, we don't hold that way. So it's only a Bayis Choshuv. That's both a winter home and a summer home. So since the Lishkas Parhedrin was only 7 days a year, it didn't need a mezuzah. But the Chachamim disagree. And they say even a 7-day home is considered to be a bayis chashuv, and it's chayiv b'mezuzah mideo raisa. Ask the Gemara. Abaye
asks a question against Rabba.
Right, Rabba was the one who said that Rabbi Yehuda, the logic of Rabbi Yehuda is that if it's a house that's not made for the sun in the winter, it's not a chosh of a house. If it's not a chosh of a house, it's not chayv in Megillah. In the mezuzah, and now we're going to bring a raya from the din of ma'aser that needs re'ias p'nei abayis. What's the halacha of ma'aser that needs re'ias p'nei abayis? The halacha is like this: so you are allowed a snack on, let's say, wheat that's in the field before it has re'ias p'nei abayis. Once it has re'ias achilas keva, you're not supposed to eat. You're not allowed to eat. Achilas arai, you're allowed to eat until you bring it into the house. Once it has a rias p'nei abayis, meaning the house, then even achilas arai, you're not allowed to eat. Says the Gemara. So says the Gemara, right, this is fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael. You have to be mafresh trumas or maisus. So it's tevel, before you're mafresh trumas, it's tevel. So the Gemara in Brachas, Laman Heim and Beis learns, it says by vidui maisus, the Gemara in Brachas, Laman Heim and Beis says, biarti akodesh min abayis. So it only becomes aser ba'achil and chayv and masrus when it has re'ias p'nei abayis. If you bring it in through the front door. That's what Rashi says here. Achilas keva, to eat it permanently, midrabanan is usur even in the field if you want to have a full meal. But achilas aray, a snack, is mutter up until it gets into the house. Says the Gemara, Esve Abaye, Mishnah Maestris, Sukkas hachag b'chag. What about if you didn't bring the produce into the house? You brought it into a sukkah on Sukkot. During the 7 days of Sukkot, you're only living in this thing, you're only living in this hut for 7 days. Sukkot achag b'chag, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda says, it's chayev in Maaser, because sukkah is considered to be a legit house. V'chachamim potrin, and the chachamim say, sukkah is not a legit house. The Tani Allah, we learned on this in a brace on this Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda obligates a sukkah as a legit house for three halachas. Be'eruv, if you have a sukkah in a courtyard, so that sukkah's got to be mishtatef in the Eruv Chatzeros. Uve mezuzah, and sukkah's chayev in mezuzah. Uve meiser. And a sukkah's chayev as far as bringing the produce in for Riyas Pnei Abayis. Wait a second. You just told me, according to Rabbah, Rabbi Yehuda held, that the Lishkas Parhejim Meikar Adin was exempt from mezuzah because it's not a structure that exists both in the summertime and the wintertime. But here you see, Rabbi Yehuda held, the sukkah is considered to be a legit house even though it's only a 7-day house. It's not in the summer and the wintertime. So you see, Rabbah's wrong. Rabbah's explanation of the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda that you need a house that's in the summer and the winter is wrong. Ask the Gemara, V'chi Tema, if you'll try to answer that really Rabbi Yehuda holds a sukkah that's not all year round is exempt. So why is a sukkah on sukkahs? Chayav in Eruv Mizuz and Maiser Midrabanan. Maybe this is just a Dindrabanan. Bishlama Eruv Umizuzah. I can understand why a sukkah is chayv and eruv and mezuzah midrabanan. Ela meiser mi ikalameimar midrabanan. How can you say that it's only called re'ias pnei abayis midrabanan? It doesn't make sense that the rabbis should randomly be mechayiv, something that was really exempt from meiser midoraisa. Why the rabbis would be mechayiv midrabanan? We don't like to make things chayv and ma'aser midrabanan. Why do we not like to make things chayv and ma'aser midrabanan? Dil ma'asi lefushim min achiv al abtur, u'min abtur al achiv. We generally don't like to establish things as chayv ma'aser midrabanan because then we're afraid you'll be mafrish from something that's chayv midrabanan on something that's chayv midoraisa, or you'll be mafrish on something that's chayv midoraisa for something that's only chayv midrabanan, and you're going to get all messed up. Asks Tosfos, in this Tosli Masachal Dilma, what do you mean? We never have anything that's chayv and maaser midrabanan? What are you talking about? We have loads of things that are chayv and maaser midrabanan. Let's say demai, right? We learned a couple of days ago. What's demai? Stuff that you purchase from an Am Haaretz. You're not sure if it's chayv and shumas maaser. What's the din? It's chayv and maaser midrabanan. What are you telling me? There's no such thing. Says the Gemara, no. Demai, everybody knows it's chayv midrabanan, from the fact that you don't have to be mafresh truma gedola, you only have to be mafresh maaser. So it has a different halacha, because the Am Haaretz were mafresh truma gedola, they just weren't mafresh maaser, so that's why it has a heker, that's what Tosfos says. Other commentaries give different explanations. Demai, there's a heker that there's no truma gedola. And even that which you are mafresh from demai, You don't have to give it to anybody. You can keep it. Others give different answers. Okay. So therefore, the Gemara rejects Rabba's answer. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda said that Meikar Adin the Lishkas Parhejin should be exempt from mezuzah has nothing to do with the fact that he only lived there 7 days a week and not winter and summer. No, even something that's just a winter or just a summer, that's enough to be mechayev in mezuzah. So what's the reason where Rabbi Yehuda said that Lishkas Parhejin is exempt? Elam Rabbaye B'Shiva. During the 7 days that the Kohen Gadol was in the Lishkas Parhejin, Dekulei Amalo Pligi D'Mechayva. During those 7 days, even Rabbi Yehuda agreed that Mikra Adin was Chayiv in Mezuzah. Ki Pligi, what was the Machlokas about the Lishkas Parhejin? Bishar Yemos Hashana. What's the status? Did you have to have a Mezuzah all the rest of the days of the year when nobody was living there? Rabbanan Sari Gazrin and Shayim Mos Hashana Atu Shiva. Rabbanan say Midi Rabbanan, you had to obligate it in mezuzah the rest of the year because people would get confused and people would think that even during the 7 days it wasn't chayiv in mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Lo gazrin," and we're not worried that maybe people will exempt it. So therefore, it's not that wouldn't be mechayiv you, but there was a different gzera so that people shouldn't say the Kohen Gadol was locked up in jail. So that's why they made him put up a mezuzah. Even all the rest of the year, so people should see that this is a legit house, and that people shouldn't say the Kohen Gadol was locked up in jail. Amalei Rava. Rava asked against Abaye, how could you say that even a dira that you live in only a few days a year, Me'ikar Adin really should be chayiv in mezuzah? How could you say that even if it's just a summer home or just a winter home or just a 7 day home, it's really chayiv in mezuzah all year long? V'hasukas achag b'chag katani. The Mishnah in Maisra says that a sukkah is chayiv in mezuzah even though you only live there for 7 days. I'm sorry, wrong. Again, the Mishnah Maaser says that even if you live in the Sukkah only on Sukkot, it's exempt. The Chachamim, who disagree, the Chachamim say it's exempt even on Sukkot. So how could you tell me that everyone agrees that if it's only a temporary dwelling for in the summer or the winter, everyone agrees. But it said over there, the Chachamim said, they disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, and they said that on Sukkot, a sukkah does not need a mezuzah. So how could you tell me everyone agrees to that? So therefore, Rava disagrees. Ella Amar Rava, the other way around. Bishar Yemos Hashana, Kulei Amalo Pligi D'Petura. Everyone agrees that the Lishkas Parhejin and a sukkah on Sukkot, the rest of the days of the year, the sukkah that we use on Sukkot, the rest of the days of the year, the Lishkas Parhejin and the sukkah, the rest of the days of the year, everyone agrees they are exempt against Abaye. Right, Abaye said once you live in it a little bit, everyone agrees you're chayv all year long. But Rava says no. The rest of the days of the year, everyone agrees it's exempt. Ki pligi, where are they arguing? B'shiva. They're arguing during those 7 days that the Kohen Gadol would live there. And during the 7 days of Sukkot, that we live in a sukkah, the Chachamim hold that the Lishkas Parhejin is chayiv in mezuzah, but by sukkah, the Chacham hold it's putter. Rabbi Yehuda holds the opposite, that the Lishkas Parhejin is exempt, Meikar Adin, it's only chayiv midrabanan, but sukkah is chayiv. Why? They have opposite svaras. They argue from one end to the end. V'sukkah time alechud, v'lishka time alechud. Sukkah has its reasoning, and the Lishkas Parhejin has its reasoning. What's the dispute? Sukkah time alachud. What's the reasoning by Sukkah? Rabbi Yehudu says that Sukkah your chayev. Sukkah your chayev. Rabbi Yehuda latame. He's l'shitasa damar Sukkah diras keva be'inon. Rabbi Yehuda is the one who holds in the first Mishnah in Sukkah that a Sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is kosher. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Sukkah is a diras keva. Since it's supposed to be a permanent structure. Since it's a permanent structure, it's chayev and mezuzah. Umechayev and mezuzah. Rabbanon tamar damar Sukkah diras arai be'inon. But the Chachamim say a Sukkah is exempt from mezuzah because it's a diras arai, it's a temporary structure. Lo mechayiv in mezuzah. So since by definition it's a temporary structure, it's not chayiv in mezuzah. V'lishka time alchud, and the Lishka's parhedrin, they argue in the opposite direction. Rabbi Yehuda says it's potter, and the Chachamim say it's chayiv. V'lishka time alchud, Rabbanan savrei dira bal korcha shmei dira. The Chachamim say Me'ikar Adin, the Lishkas Parhedrin is chayiv in mezuzah, because even when you're dwelling in a place against your will, like in a jail, or in the Lishkas Parhedrin, the Kohen, it was against his will, he had to be there, like it or not. So that's called a dira, even though you're there against your will, it's considered to be your place of dira, and therefore it's chayiv in mezuzah min haTorah. Rabbi Yehuda savar no. Rabbi Yehuda says Me'ikar Adin midoraisa, it wouldn't be chayiv. Dira bal karcha lo shmei dira. And therefore, midorais is exempt. But midorabbanan, who did takinu la, but midorabbanan, the rabbi said, put up a mezuzah on the lishkas parhedrin. Shelo yomru kohen gadol chavish b'veis asurim. So that people shouldn't say that the kohen gadol is there, that the kohen gadol is there against his will. So that people shouldn't say that the kohen gadol is there against his will. So this is going to lead us in tomorrow, we're not done yet, hold on one more second. This is going to lead us in tomorrow's daf to a long discussion, an involved discussion about what's considered to be a diras keva and what's considered to be diras arai, right? 30 days. Do you have to live in a place for 30 days to be considered chayiv and mezuzah? So we'll see that tomorrow, but just one more line here.
Is the question about the dira itself, whether the it was up or whether you live there? So look at a sukkah where I'm not living there, but theoretically it's up, or is it that the building itself is temporary?
So that's exactly, I think, the dispute, Avi. Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, since it's a diras keva, the structure itself is a diras keva, it's chayiv mezuzah, but Chachamim say it's just a diras arai. So at this point we're saying, since the structure itself, regardless of how long you live there for, but the structure itself is a diras arai, so it's not really considered to be a permanent structure, so you're not chayiv in mezuzah. One more line. Man tana lahad tana rabbanan. Who is the author of the following braisa? Kol hasha'arim shahayu sham lahayu la mezuzah. All of the gates of the Azara did not have mezuzah, chutz mishar nikanor, except for the easternmost gate on the eastern side of the Azara, which had a mezuzah. This is what we see earlier, that the Lishkas Parhedrin was inside the Shaar Nikanor. This is where we learned earlier, we had the Gemara earlier, that it's considered to be part of the Beis HaMikdash. Shelefnim imenu Lishkas Parhedrin. Lema Rabbanan hivalo Rabbi Yehuda. So let us say, this is going like Chachamim, that the Lishkas Parhedrin, Shaar Nikanor, Shelefnim imenu Lishkas Parhedrin. If the Shaar Nikanor had, and it's because the Lishkas Parhedrin was chayiv in mezuzah. Lema Rabbanan, so this sounds like it's Me'ikar Adin, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda, he guf gzeir v'ana nekem v'nigzar gzeir l'gzeira. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only Adin to Rabbanan that the Lishkas Parhedrin. So you're going to tell me that the gate to the gate of the Adin to Rabbanan, you're going to make it on the Shaar Nikanor because it was Adin to Rabbanan, so you can make like a gzeira on a gzeira. You're going to make the Shaar Nikanor have one because the one inside it also had one midrabbanan, says the Gemara. No, I feel Timur Rabbi Yehuda, kula chad gzeirahi. It's not a gzeira l'gzeira, this is all part of one gzeira, that because the Lishkas Parhedrin had a mezuzah, so they included the Shaar Nikanor, the outer gate, to get into that area, so that they shouldn't say that the Kohen Gadol was locked in jail. Okay, we'll have to b'lin eder try to talk more about this tomorrow, as we'll discuss one of the major sugyas in Shas about what type of door, what type of home is chayv in mezuzah and what is not chayv in mezuzah. Everyone should have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Very much.
Have a good day, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.